Good morning, all. Welcome to the month of June and the season of winter and the 5 weeks of joy. Let's hope it lasts longer than 5 weeks. Just want to read to you before I sort of dive in from Acts, and this is, first of all, the promise of the Holy Spirit in Acts 1. And then the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Jesus says in Acts 1, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's the promise. And then in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And it divided tongues as of fire, appeared to them, and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus, we just commit this moment to you and ask for your Spirit to fill us, to speak to us, to encourage us, and to challenge us. We are open to what it is that you want to say to us today. We see this as an incredibly gifted moment where we stop as a community and hear from you through your Spirit, through your voice, and through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So yeah, today, fresh out of our series on waiting well. But I feel that today we are not waiting for joy to find us. We're moving in for the next few weeks. We're choosing to live in joy, right? Yes? To experience joy and to walk in the promise that Jesus speaks about. And I need to be really honest and upfront with you right from the get-go. Me kicking off a series on joy. Why are you laughing at that? Some of you know me a little too well. Okay. Because for me, if I'm honest, joy isn't always the easiest thing for me to express. Sometimes I struggle to show it on the outside, even though it might be active and there on the inside. But I take comfort in the fact that some of the deepest joy makes the least noise. All the introverts said amen. But sometimes, even on the inside, for me, joy can feel distant, evasive, lost, trying to find where it is. But joy isn't just a feeling. Joy doesn't need to be loud. It's not just about laughter, smiles, happy outcomes. It's deeper. It's spiritual, even supernatural. And that's what we want to look at over this next season. And it starts with the Spirit in us, as it started with the disciples. The last time I was at our church in Cambodia, I met a young woman who was coming to the church who had been rescued from trafficking in Cambodia. And her story was quite sad and traumatic and horrible, really. She had connected to Kingsway Church over there in Phnom Penh. And she was talking to me after the service through a translation because she didn't speak English. And she was telling me how she had found love at Kingsway. Her whole story was about finding love at Kingsway. And she was beaming with joy. Challenges me. I can't really relate to her story. I was talking to Panette not long after that, after I'd returned, and he was one of the pastors there in Cambodia, and he was telling me that at their youth camp, about a month after I was there, that six young women, all who had been rescued from trafficking, had been baptized at their youth camp. Incredible what God is doing. Her scars will always be there. We can't change her past, but her story is being reshaped by love. And the joy in her was evident, and it was beautiful. So we need to be clear from the start as we talk about joy, that joy is not the same as happiness. Joy can exist even in sadness, in grief, in sorrow. You can be joyful and heartbroken at the same time. The joy that we are talking through over the next few weeks is a spiritual joy. Deeper, permanent. A promised joy that is not moved by moments or shaken in chaos or dictated by our circumstances. You know, we know that we are in a culture obsessed with the pursuit of happiness. But the joy that Jesus offers to us isn't something that we chase or pursue. It's something that we are given. I don't earn it. I don't create it. I don't achieve it. I simply receive it from the Spirit of God. Happiness is connected more to what's happening. Joy is connected to who we are in Christ. And it's grounded in love. And if there is a takeaway for you today, for me, the big message in what I believe God has spoken to me about is that real joy starts with love. And the love that God calls us into is only really possible through the filling of His Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It is evidence of the Spirit living within us. It's not a reward for a life going well. And this is the key message. This is a spiritual joy that comes to us by the Spirit of God that is given to us. One of the testimonies of Pentecost, of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, was joy. Not necessarily laughter, but joy. Evidence and fruit of the Spirit. There's a passage of Scripture that I want us to look at in John 15. And if you've got a Bible in your phone, on your watch, if you can, I don't know if you could read that anyway. I don't have one of those things. I don't wear a watch anyway. That's why I always preach short, because I always think I'm going longer. John 15, verses 9 to 12 says this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, abide in my love, live in my love, dwell in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. And I have told you this so that my joy, Jesus' joy, would be in you and that your joy would be complete. It's a pretty incredible promise. In the account of Jesus' life, Jesus really only gives one commandment. Love well. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love well. And here in John 15, he adds a little bit to that. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And if you remain in my love, which is only possible through the Holy Spirit, and grow in my love and love others as I have loved you, then my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. So this spiritual, supernatural, real, genuine, forever joy is grounded in love. We want joy to fill our lives, then we need the Spirit to empower us to love well. To love God, to love others. Loving well is the key to remaining in His love. And remaining in His love leads to joy. And not just any joy, but His joy in us and our joy made complete. So how do we live in that love? How do we keep loving people when life is hard and people disappoint us? We need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that came at Pentecost, the very Spirit of Jesus that filled and empowered the disciples. If we want to love well, there's not a lot of natural about this kind of love. It's very supernatural. Galatians 5, as I said before, tells us that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. That means it's not something that we manufacture, it's something that grows as we remain connected to Christ, connected to Jesus. It's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus that fills us, that empowers us to love and in turn to live with joy. And I believe the church needs that joy, as does the world. We cannot produce this kind of joy on our own. We can't force it, we can't fake it, but we can receive it by staying filled with the Spirit. The world wants to rob you of your joy. Wants to steal your joy. And if we're honest, sometimes I feel like the world is winning. Because life is hard. People hurt us. Words stick. Seasons wound us. Relationships fracture. And we all feel that in our own journeys of life. But the thing is, If we allow our joy to be conditional, based on the behavior of others or the state of the circumstances around us, which, if I'm honest, I do, we can lose touch with what Jesus has already given us. A deep joy in his presence, by his power, and ultimately for his purpose. Mark Twain says that comparison is the thief of joy, but not the joy of Jesus. It's not dependent on your situation. It's not dependent on other people. It's not shaken by criticism. It's not stolen by pain or even comparison. Because it doesn't come from you. It comes to you. The joy that Jesus promises us is different. It's not circumstantial or conditional. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. It's steadfast. It's sure. And joy doesn't need to shout, but it does need to show up. The line, as I've prepared this message, that keeps going around in my head is, joy doesn't need to be loud, but it does need to be lived. I think too often we connect joy with being loud, being out there. Joy doesn't need to be loud, but it does need to be lived. You know, one of the things that I admired about my dad was his quiet joy. Regardless of what was going on around him, regardless of what was happening to him, even in his final days, there was a quiet joy. It was evident in the warmth that he brought, in the gratitude that he shared, in the words that he spoke, and in his very presence. You felt it, you experienced it, you saw it even in his silence. Jesus promises, my joy will be in you. And your joy will be made complete. Two different things, but both promises of joy. One, we get his joy in us. Good joy, I reckon. And the second is, our joy is made complete. Sounds pretty good too. Would you agree? His joy in us should bring a smile. And our joy made complete. We need this joy. It's not just survival. This is overflow. Jesus' promise is not just a bit of joy. It's an overflow of joy. His joy in us and our joy made complete. And I believe that when we live that out, when we live out the joy that is in us, it is a witness to the world. I believe, and you know, my disclaimer at the start, I don't necessarily always live this out. I believe that followers of Jesus should be the most joy-filled people on the planet. Because we have his joy in us, and our joy is being made complete, and a fruit of the Spirit of God in us is joy, we should be the most joy-filled people on the planet. Not necessarily the happiest, because we all do life. We all go through struggles and pain and grief. Not necessarily the loudest, but we should be the most joyful. Because in Christ, our joy is complete. It's not a half-baked, mediocre joy. And this challenges me to live out my joy, His joy that is in me, daily, because it lacks nothing. If His joy is in me, His joy is lacking nothing. And if my joy is complete, then my joy lacks nothing. Jesus doesn't promise you 50%. He doesn't say if you remain in me and keep my commandments and love well that you'll get a bit of joy. I'll give you some occasionally. No, He promises His joy in you and your joy to be made complete. Now, I believe that it is both in an instant, but also in a journey that we experience that. When we are filled with the Spirit, we have all of the Spirit in us, not just a bit. But there is a journey, I believe, of abiding, of living in Christ, in His love, where our joy is being made complete. In a world marked by anxiety, anger, division, and discouragement, joy is a witness. And I'm encouraged that even quiet joy can be contagious. Our joy tells the world that we belong to Jesus. Our joy shows that we are filled by something more than what life can throw at us. And our joy reflects that we are loved and that we love well. We need to live in His love. We need to let the Spirit fill us again and again and again. To love deeply and receive deeply. Because when we love well, when we remain in Him, we live in His joy. And His joy in us spills out to those people around us. And His joy is our strength. I believe His joy is our difference. His joy is our gift. In Romans 15, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him." And just to remind you of my Greek understanding of Scripture, that the word "all" in Greek means all. All joy. Not part, not a bit. Not the leftovers, not the scraps, but the full measure of joy. That we would be filled. Even in our darkest days, there is a joy of the Lord that fills us and empowers us. My prayer is for all of us that we would be filled by His Spirit. And I believe, for me, it's a constant prayer. Fill me with Your Spirit, Lord. Fill me with Your Spirit. Empower me with Your Spirit. Fill me, empower me, so that I can overflow with Your love and Your joy. That the world would see something different in me. Not because I'm always happy or always smiling, but because I'm always His. Let me pray. Jesus, today I thank You for this incredible promise. The significance of those words, that Your joy would be in us and that our joy would be complete. That the joy of Jesus would be in us and that our joy would be complete. I pray today, Jesus, for each of us, regardless of how we feel, what we're walking through, where we've been or where we're going, that we would open our hearts to be filled with Your Spirit. And that the fruit of Your Spirit would be evident. That it would be joy. Not a manufactured, circumstantial joy, but a spiritual, supernatural infilling of Your joy in us that would flow out into our relationships, our behaviors, our actions, our thoughts, our gratitude, our lives. That we would be a people marked by joy. Yes, the loud laughter, but also the quiet joy. That people would see in us a joy beyond our circumstances. That they would see something in us that is contagious. Because it's from You, that we would be empowered to love well, to love like You love, that we would love our neighbor, that we would love one another as You loved us. And we know that we need Your Spirit to fill us, the power of Your Spirit to break through for us, to love like that, and to live in joy, and to be a witness to the world of who You are. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. I don't know if the guys have another song up their sleeve or whether your fingers can cope with another song. Or you can just make something up. I don't really mind. So what I feel I want, God wants me to do right now is to really just sit in worship for a couple of minutes, but just then really pray over you this morning, that the Spirit of God would fill you afresh today. I know I need that. So let's praise his name for a bit.